are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday and happy Timberwolves win over the Jazz. Despite being short and Andrew Wiggins and a Shabazz Napier and losing Jake Layman halfway through the game to a foot injury, the Timberwolves hung in and not only beat the Jazz on Monday night, but effectively put them away with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. So easily the best win of the season for the Wolves, unexpected to say the least. We're going to spend most of today's episode talking about this one. We'll start with a really quick recap, but also focusing on some key takeaways, what the Wolves were able to do on both ends of the floor, and then we'll take a look at the box score, some of the Wolves' studs and duds from this game, and a little bit about why it matters in the overall context of the season, as well as just kind of fun with statistics for the Wolves so far, now that we're, at the 14-game mark? So, I don't know, I guess somewhere nearing that 20% of the season mark. We can take a look at where the Wolves are standing in some of those categories. We've kept an eye on three-point attempts and some things of that nature. So overall, a super impressive win. The Timberwolves were 10-point underdogs in this one, with Andrew Wiggins headed into the game as questionable, but it was not at shoot-around. He did not travel with the team. Brian Saunders was trying to leave open the possibility that Wiggins could fly commercial and make the game, which seemed pretty unlikely. Wiggins, of course, had missed Friday and Saturday due to personal reasons, and was listed as questionable on Monday due to illness. Doesn't sound like the two things are related, but given, I guess, Teague missed four games due to illness just a couple weeks ago, but one would think that Wiggins may be available again on Wednesday if he was out on Monday due to illness. Shabazz Napier still has his hamstring injury and was doubtful for this game, did not suit up. And the Wolves had Josh Okogie. He was questionable during the day, participated in shoot-around, and gutted it out. The Wolves are reporting knee soreness for Okogie. Jim Peterson on Fox Sports North called it tendonitis in Okogie's knee. And remember, Okogie missed Saturday's game, and that was a big part of the Wolves not being able to slow down the Rockets defensively, whether it was Chris Clemens or James Harden, which were the two guys who killed the Wolves on Saturday. So Okogie was available on Monday, which was huge, to try and check Donovan Mitchell and Bojan Bogdanović, and the Wolves did a great job with that. More on that later. So having Okogie was really important. Late in the game, it really appeared as though his knee was bothering him. So here's hoping the Wolves can get him a little bit of rest coming up. And thankfully, they've only got three games on the schedule this week. They've got a couple of off days in a row later in the week. It'd be really good to have him against the Jazz again on Wednesday. So hopefully the Wolves do get him on the court, but he's able to rest up at the end of the week here. Overall in this game, the Timberwolves without Wiggins, it was questionable as to how they were going to I think the biggest concern for me was rebounding with Rudy Gobert in the middle, and then also how the Wolves were going to score at the rim without Wiggins, who's been doing a great job getting into the paint, and he shoots a good enough floater to keep Gobert off balance. But what the Timberwolves did in this game offensively was simply to just keep Gobert away from the rim. They played a five-out offense for most of the game, except for a few possessions with Towns in the post, which didn't really turn out all that well. I think he only scored on one of those possessions, and that was after a couple of offensive rebounds and putbacks. And when Gorgui Dieng was in the game as the backup center, the Jazz didn't have a backup center. Ed Davis is out, and they played Jeff Green at center. And so Gorgui had a couple of pretty easy buckets in the post after Gobert went to the bench. So the Wolves overall just decided to keep Gobert away from the rim, open up driving lanes, believe that their guys could win one-on-one battles or get around screens and get into the paint. And for the most part, that worked. The offense was efficient in this game. The three-point shooting was good enough. Jeff Teague was good enough and aggressive enough to actually get into the paint. Sometimes that ended in a bucket. Other times it was a miss. And then there were a few plays where Teague was able to distribute, including one of the biggest plays of the game down the stretch when the Wolves scored on a Keelan Martin three-pointer in the right corner on a drive from Jeff Teague. And that particular play pushed the Wolves' lead to 13 points with just under 5 minutes left in the game, and was massive. And it was predicated by Teague's ability to drive, and then also the success the Wolves were having in the pick-and-pop game with Karl Anthony Towns and Teague primarily. Towns had set a screen on that play, and the Jazz were so concerned about him popping and then Robert Covington in the opposite slot that they left Keelan Martin wide open in the corner. And of course, Martin was 0 for 11 for his career from beyond the arc headed into this game. He made 2 of 3 in this game, also hit a few floaters down the stretch, was massive. He was probably the Wolves' third, maybe fourth best player on the court in this one, and made some big plays down the stretch. Has a strong floater game. He made, I think, 3 floaters and pulled down 6 rebounds. I noted this in my player grades that I do at Dunkin' with Wolves, but so far in Keelan Martin's career, he had played 35 minutes for the Wolves over 3 games and had 3 rebounds. Against the Jazz, he played 24 minutes, had 6 rebounds, had 1 big rebound late when Towns was checking Gobert, and the ball, Gobert almost got to the ball. Martin crashed the glass on defense and pulled it down as the Jazz were trying to make a comeback. So all around a really impressive performance from Keelan Martin. Good for him. We'll talk a little bit more about him later, but that dagger three was a function of the pick and pop working so well with Towns and Teague. Defensively, the Timberwolves did an awesome job against the Jazz. The Jazz aren't a great offensive team, but Donovan Mitchell can get hot at any point, and Bojan Bogdanovic has always been a Timberwolves killer, started the game really hot. Joe Ingles had his best shooting game in a while. He'd been struggling from outside the arc. And the Wolves just did an overall solid job on defense. If you look at the box score, look at some of these shooting numbers for the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell scored 17 points, which is well below his season average, and he shot 5 of 23 from the field. He only attempted 7 free throws, which is also important. He did have 7 rebounds and only a couple of turnovers, but he was a minus 10 for the game. The Wolves forced him into some really difficult shots. And a lot of that was due to Josh Okogie, but the Wolves were switching virtually everything. And so Robert Covington had his chance to guard Mitchell. Travion Graham did an awesome job on defense. Keelan Martin was good when he had the opportunity. He did pick up 4 fouls in just 24 minutes, but Martin did a very good job in defense on defense. And Jarrett Culver was pretty good as well defensively. So really the Wolves, even with Jake Layman left the game with a couple minutes left in the first half with what the Wolves called foot soreness, didn't return after having started the game. Layman only played 14 minutes and was good early on, but the Wolves were still able to throw Graham, Covington, Okogie, Culver, Martin all at Donovan Mitchell, and they all did well. They all were able to do their best in terms of staying home and playing one-on-one defense against Mitchell. The other thing is they did a good job in Bogdanovic. He had 18 points, but it took him 17 shots to do it, 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. And so the two most active three-point shooters for the Jazz were largely held in check. Joe Ingles had 12 off the bench, but he was just 4 of 12 shooting and 3 of 7 from beyond the arc. So overall, a great job by the Wolves keeping the Jazz best players at bay and not allowing Mitchell to go off late. There were a couple of tough mid-range shots that he made, and it felt like at any moment he was just going to explode and things were going to get rough for the Wolves, but they held him in check. And credit the defensive scheme by Saunders, credit the individual efforts, because the way that the Wolves play the pick and roll and the reason why some of these other guards have been so dynamic against them is because they do allow mid-range shots. And the Wolves adjusted that a little bit in this game, knowing that Mitchell likes to take mid-range shots and he's effective from that part of the floor. And also Mike Conley handles the ball a lot in the pick and roll for the Jazz. And maybe I haven't watched enough Jazz games this season to know for sure, but it really feels like Conley's handling the ball in the pick and roll and initiating offense in the half court more than Ricky Rubio did when he was a Jazz point guard the last couple of years, and that Mitchell is getting the ball later in offensive sets. And in this particular game, that didn't work out very well, as the Wolves on initial pick and rolls run by point guards are giving ground to opposing point guards for the most part. And Conley himself didn't have a great game, and that helped. He was just 6 of 15 shooting. So overall, I guess that the if I was to boil it down to just a couple of key things, the Wolves shot the ball well enough from beyond the arc. They shot almost 37%, well above their season average of 31%, and the Jazz are one of the best defensive teams in the league, including guarding the three-pointer. The Wolves hit enough open shots to win. We haven't even really talked about Karl-Anthony Towns, but he was more than willing to shoot threes. He attempted 15 threes in this game and made 7 of them. So he was strong enough from outside the arc that Gobert had no choice but to respect him. And Jeff Teague was beating his man off the dribble fairly consistently. Keelan Martin stepped up. Overall, the scheme on both ends of the floor was great. And it's just an impressive win without Andrew Wiggins, to be sure. All right, next up, we're going to talk studs and duds and then dive just a little bit more into the box score, talk about Towns' performance specifically and what he brought to the table in this one. Karl Anthony Towns took a little bit of flack over the weekend for not maybe stepping up enough in Wiggins' absence on Friday and Saturday. He, of course, had pretty good games, especially on Saturday against the Rockets, but maybe could have been shooting the ball more. The Wolves could have done a better job of scheming to get him the ball as teams were completely keying in on him with nobody else a real offensive threat. In this game, Gobert early was simply not coming out far enough to guard Towns, which is just kind of crazy because, of course, Towns is an over 40% free three-point shooter. And then once he did that, Towns was able to beat him off the dribble a couple of times. The Wolves were making, other players were making enough open shots. And then for a stretch in the third quarter, for some reason, Towns decided he was going to try and go at Gobert in the post on like 3 out of 4 possessions or something crazy. And there was one turnover and then another play, Gobert blocked Towns as he tried to go to the rim and it was pretty bad. Towns did the thing where he gets really frustrated and he tries to take over, and sometimes it's to his own detriment. He starts playing too fast and sloppy. And he did make a couple of offensive fouls in the third quarter that sent him to the bench with 4 personals. His first 4 fouls in this game were all on offense. And most of them were legit. There was one moving screen that wasn't a moving screen. There was a kick out on a 3-point attempt that was a legit call. And then there was a little bit of a push off on Gobert when Towns was trying to shoot a jump hook in the post. And then after that point, Towns, I don't believe, went to the post again. And here's the thing. Against probably, I don't know, 25 or 26 of the other 29 teams, Towns can go in the post and exert his will. Even if he's being double teamed, he can score over some of these much smaller lineups that teams are rolling out. And he can score over double teams. He can finish through contact. But one-on-one against the best defensive big man and arguably the best defensive player in the league just doesn't make sense. Towns can draw him away from the rim. He can shoot threes above 40%, and then Gobert's not in the paint to block other shots. And that's exactly what the Wolves did when they were most successful in this game. Gobert only had 1 block in the game, and Towns himself had 2. Towns did have 5 turnovers, but a lot of that was, it was those offensive fouls primarily. And Towns shot 7 of 15 from beyond the arc, and that's beyond good enough to cause the Jazz to continue to respect him as if that was ever in question. Towns inside the arc was only 4 of, I guess he was 4 of 8, which isn't bad, but those were mostly attempts near the rim where he was getting offensive rebounds. He had 3 offensive rebounds. He also had 13 rebounds total in the game. After a slow start, he really crashed the glass hard down the stretch. Gobert himself only had 14. Towns had 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and was a plus 11 to Gobert's minus 10. So clearly Towns wins that matchup. Gobert may have gotten the highlights with the block on Towns, but as it turns out, 3 points is more than 2, and Towns made 7 threes in this game and did just enough on the glass and distributing the ball when he got the ball in his hands that it's hard to not look at this game and say, well, Towns took this matchup and ran with it and was a huge part of this win. Also wanted to shout out Gorgui Dieng, who played backup center minutes. This was Noah Vonleh's first did not play coach's decision of the season. This I think it was just last game. It was the other way around. Vonleh played and Gorgui didn't. So we'll see what this looks like moving forward, if it's simply a matchup thing, which is what I'm thinking. And then against big lineups, they both can play. But Gorgui had a huge stretch in the first half to keep the Wolves in the game with Towns on the bench. And then also a strong stretch at the end of the third quarter when it was a danger zone. The Wolves were down by 5 or 6 before a couple of big shots and big defensive stands leading into the fourth quarter. But Gorgui had 8 points, 5 rebounds in just 15 minutes, played some key minutes off the bench. And Robert Covington, 15 points, 8 rebounds in this one, 5 of 10 shooting. He had a couple of steals and a block, was very, very good. He had a sequence in the, I guess it was the second quarter, when he stripped the ball from Gobert, got kneed below the belt, and stayed down on the floor for a minute. Gobert was complaining, didn't make it back across half court. And then the Wolves turned the ball over. The Jazz threw it ahead to Gobert. Covington saw it, jumped up, got set. Gobert didn't even know he was there, turned around and committed an offensive foul. So two consecutive turnovers by Gobert that were both forced by Robert Covington really frustrated him with the way that he crashed down in the paint. Did a good job individually when he got matched onto Mitchell or Bogdanovich when the Jazz had the ball. So just an all-round solid performance from Rocco in this one. Again, nothing really eye-popping about his line, although 15-8 is nice, and the Wolves will take that from him every night. But he rebounded the ball just well enough and played outstanding defense. We talked about Teague. Teague ended up with 21-11. He did shoot the ball 18 times and make just 7, but he was aggressive, and he was shooting the ball in the paint. He was distributing the ball. He only had 2 turnovers. He won that matchup against Conley fairly easily. Conley had 15-6 and also didn't shoot the ball well. So Teague won that matchup. I've always kind of thought he's a point guard that would fit the Jazz system pretty well. And in this game, he absolutely played better than Mike Conley, and he has to this point in this season. So another impressive performance from Teague, and clearly an important part about the Wolves are going to do about what the Wolves are going to do this year if they're going to try and make the playoffs. Teague's a big part of that. Last player to talk about, Keelan Martin. Talked about him earlier. He had 14 points and 6 rebounds, 6 of 7 shooting, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, only 1 turnover. He was a team high plus 21 in this game. And just had a solid all-around game. You could tell that he gained confidence as the game went on and hit that huge corner three late in the fourth quarter. So great game for Martin. If Wiggins is back Wednesday, curious to see whether or not he stays up, and the Wolves would likely send down Kade Bates Diop back to the G League on Wednesday if Wiggins is available. But also with Okogie's knee bothering him, it's possible he misses a game or two here or there. So don't be surprised to see Martin get a little bit of additional run here soon to see if he can capitalize on his strong play of late. So awesome to see that success from Keelan Martin, and excited to see what happens next. He was obviously one of the more coveted undrafted guys out of Butler. So glad the Wolves got him, and glad that he's starting to hit his stride. All right, final segment. We're going to talk a little bit about what to expect the rest of the week, and then also the Timberwolves kind of fun with team statistics overall in the grand scheme of the landscape of the NBA. First, I wanted to mention our friends at MyBookie. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at MyBookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. That's LOCKEDONNBA. And MyBookie will match 50% of your first deposit. If you're listening on the go right now and can't visit MyBookie, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. That's lockedonpodcast.com/offers for a complete list of Locked On sponsors and their current offers. All right, wanted to talk a little bit about the Timberwolves in the grand scheme of the NBA, where they sit now as we are, I guess, just a little over a week out from Thanksgiving. Overall, in terms of where the Wolves stand in the Western Conference, they're right now in the 8th seed, and they're a couple games up on Sacramento. The Wolves are 8-6. Sacramento's 5-7. The Wolves are virtually tied with Phoenix at 7-5. They've played a couple more games than them, and then Dallas and Utah right ahead of them at 8-5. So the Wolves are right in the thick of things in the West. Their point differential is just barely negative, and you know, having blowout losses on Friday and Saturday will do that, as it turns out. So some work to do there to improve their expected performance as a team. The Timberwolves have remained in the top few teams in the league in three-point shooting so far this year, and that's not going to change. They're now officially up to second in three-point attempts per game at over 39 per game so far this year. And they're steadily rising from 30th to 29th and now to 28th in terms of their three-point percentage. They're up to 31.3% on the year, which of course is not good, but they've had a lot more impressive individual shooting performances of late. In fact, the only areas that the Wolves are not in the top really few in the NBA in terms of offensive statistics is all the shooting percentages. They're in the bottom third of the league in free throw, 3-point, and overall field goal shooting percentage. They're playing so fast that they're getting a ton of possessions, and they're also turning the ball over quite a bit. So the rest of those numbers are all good in terms of the number of shots that they're making and all that. They're just not being super efficient. They've slid from the top team in pace about a week ago to fourth. And that was due to playing a couple of teams that did a good job of slowing them down. But their defensive rating has remained in the middle of the pack and has, for the most part, been better than their offensive rating throughout the season, although they're both kind of hovering around that 15-16 mark right now. So, I mean, obviously, if the Wolves are 15th in both throughout the year, they're going to be essentially a 500 team and maybe a little bit better, as we've seen. So that's exactly where they've sat so far. So that'll be a focus. Rebounding was a big concern for me. The total rebounds look really good, partly because they're playing so fast and their number of possessions is so high. So there's just more available rebounds. The overall defensive rebounding percentage is still just 22nd in the league. Offensive rebounding is 11th in the league. And I think part of that is Towns is a really good offensive rebounder. And then also they're shooting more threes, so there's more long rebounds and opportunities for back taps and the Wolves to get additional possessions. But defensive rebounding remains a little bit of a concern. 22nd in the league in rebounding rate on defense is probably close to where they need to be. They're not going to be a top 10 rebounding team when they're just essentially only playing one big man at a time in almost every game all the time. But if they can nudge that up a little bit and kind of get out of that bottom 10 teams in terms of defensive rebounding percentage, that'll be huge down the stretch later in the season as they're playing some of these other teams. So that's something to keep an eye out for. But overall, you know, taking a snapshot after 14 games, I mean, they're doing kind of what we thought they would. The rebounding's been a little better than expected. The three-point shooting's maybe actually been a little bit worse than expected. But Andrew Wiggins has been surprising, even though he's missed now three games. Towns has missed a couple of games. They've had more injuries than they really had for much of their first part of last year, at least. And yet they've weathered the storm. Towns is now shooting 43.5% from beyond the arc. The only other players above league average are Andrew Wiggins at 36.1%, and then Covington and Lehman are both just a little bit over 35%. Everybody else that has played is effectively below 30% individually shooting from beyond the arc. You expect to see Napier improve his mark when he comes back. Jeff Teague is shooting just 25.9% from beyond the arc. That'll come up as he gains his confidence and shoots more. So again, the 3-point percentage is going to be rising, and that's just something to key in on for this team. If they're shooting that many per game, eventually they're going to start making more per game. And as long as this defense stays intact, then the team overall should only trend up as we move throughout the season. All right, quick look at the rest of the week. The Timberwolves host the Jazz on the second half of a home-and-home on Wednesday. So we will be talking about that for Wednesday's podcast. We'll be previewing that game and then taking a look back again at Monday and through the lens of that victory in Utah and what to expect as the Wolves try and steal back-to-back, or I guess two consecutive wins against a divisional opponent. And then they wrap the week up with the even though Ricky Rubio is not on the Jazz anymore, we'll get to see him with the Phoenix Suns at home on Saturday night after the Wolves get a pair of off days at the latter part of the work week. And then we'll host Phoenix on Saturday before then playing six of their next seven on the road. So imperative that the Wolves at the very least split these next two home games and hopefully steal one after stealing one in Utah on Monday, holding serve and beating Utah on Wednesday before facing Phoenix to build a nice little three-game win streak and go 10-6 before the stretch of six road games in seven games would be huge for the Timberwolves. And also, here's hoping Andrew Wiggins comes back, Okogie can get better, and then maybe Napier returns for the road trip as well. So it's amazing how things can look that much better after a pair of really ugly losses on Friday and Saturday, an impressive win Monday, and things look a lot rosier for the Timberwolves. So we'll keep an eye on the injury situations and everything else as we head towards Wolves Jazz again on Wednesday night. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.